Welcome, guys, to the A Unique Beauty Podcast, where we talk all things beauty and God. I am your host, your girl, Kamara A Unique, and I'm so excited to be here again. It's been a while, guys. It's been a minute, and I feel like we just need to just catch up on the things that's been happening in my life. So I finally shared my testimony, y'all. I finally shared my testimony of how I found God. I was invited to speak at a women's brunch conference in South Carolina, and God led me to share my testimony and to share different things that He has done in my life. And so this podcast today is dedicated to being bold and sharing God's goodness, and it's so good to brag about His goodness. And so what else has happened since then? I have been so busy with work. Work has been picking back up for me, praise the Lord. And it's been finding balance on the things that I have created for myself with while I was sitting at home during COVID and during the pandemic. So it's trying to find the balance of things and making sure the Bible study is going good and making sure that I'm still doing the things that God has called me to do while I was sitting at home during the pandemic. But I'm so grateful that I am back to work. So grateful that I found some type of balance to even get this podcast out today, because He's been placing it in my head, like, share the testimony on the podcast, share the testimony on the podcast. And so finally, I just want to do that, because I know I've been sharing some things and some thoughts on my Instagram that has been causing some tension and causing some people to really say some really hurtful things, one, but also for people to really recognize that some of the things that we're seeing in society right now or seeing on social media or Instagram is really not of God, which is like saging the house, crystals, all this occult stuff that we're seeing people trying to normalize, astral projection, psychics, and all types of things that's opening the doors to witchcraft. And so it's been a journey for me, because God chased me down. I like to say that God hunted me down about 4 years ago. Around this time, around March of 2017, He hunted me like prey. And He burned down a witch's altar for me because I was into a lot. So let's get into the story of how God hunted me and how I became so bold and excited for Jesus and for the things that He has done for me and in me and through me. So about to in 2016, 2017, I was at the top of my career. I was working with some really amazing people and just moving and shaking. I went to Paris with a friend and ended up staying there a little bit longer to work with a few clients. And while I was out there, I connected with someone and she started to introduce me to certain things. Now, let's fast forward. Before that, I was already dabbling in witchcraft. I was already I was already like basically a Reiki healer. I got activated to become a Reiki healer. I became a crystal collector. I collected crystals and would have them in every corner of my apartment. I even wore my nameplate that I have now, and I would add a rose quartz crystal to it. I used to wear a Buddha necklace around my neck, and I would wrap a rose quartz crystal around the Buddha necklace. Even how I found that Buddha necklace was kind of like crazy the way I would explain it. I thought it was all God speaking to me when it was just the enemy pulling me in more and more and more to do the things for Him and to work basically for the enemy, thinking that it was of God. I remember one time that I did do... I used to receive Reiki healing too from a friend who I still love to this day. We just don't think the same. No, there's no judgment and no shade and no disrespect to any person that does what they do. This is just my experience, and I still have love for the people. But I remember when I would go to his house to get Reiki, I remember seeing about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different spirits around me and me thinking they were angels. And now as a woman of God, I've learned that that was just familiar spirits. Those were spirits that were basically finding ways to enter and to come in and out of, like, out of me and basically to attach themselves to me. And then you find yourself going through more warfare where you're like, I need more Reiki. I thought the peace that I had is no longer here. It's crazy now. I need more Reiki. Where you're becoming like running after it, not realizing that you're just asking for deliverance, basically. And so I was going through all those things. I would build altars. I would pray for clients. I would basically try to manifest things to me that maybe God didn't really want for me. Maybe God was not really claiming for me to have those things. And but I can also say that God was working through me in certain ways too, because my whole entire career was a manifestation of God, because I was not into makeup. I was not planning on becoming a makeup artist. It was literally like walking step by step and then being inspired in the beauty of things and seeing how it changed people's lives. So I cannot take all the credit and give it to the enemy about where I'm at in my career. Let me give that full disclosure that my career and where I'm at in my life today is of God. But what the enemy will try to do is he will try to like enter into your life in some kind of way to pervert the gift that God has given you. And so what I was doing was basically perverting that gift by following the steps of like what I was seeing as popular. When I moved to Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn from Flatbush, I was opened up to a whole bunch of like different types of things. I was opened up to people that wore ankhs. I was opened up to people that worshiped Egyptian gods. I would hang out with the Hoteps. I would hang out with men that had multiple girlfriends and that it was okay. It was just all types of things that I was opened up to that I felt like this was normal. It also was taught to me that it was like, this is our African culture and this is what they did and they took from us in Christianity. And it was a mess. I didn't know any better. I did not know the Bible. Also another thing too, I was also raised Catholic. So a lot of the things that I was doing was very normal to me. Speaking to saints and praying to the saints and all that stuff was normal. Like it was just like, oh, this is normal. This is what we do in church, you know? And so fast forward to, coming back from Paris, and all of a sudden things started to shift for me. I remember that all of a sudden the clients were no longer booking me for jobs. The same clients that I was working with were like, girl, we ain't got nothing for you. Or, hey, we're going to go with someone else. We're going in a different direction. It became so crazy that I could barely pay my rent. I could barely pay my rent for maybe about 3 months. My rent was only $1,000 a month. I had a one-bedroom apartment in Bed-Stuy, excuse me, and I could barely pay it. And I'll be like, what is going on here? Why am I not able to pay my rent? I feel like somebody put a curse on me. And so I remember calling someone and saying to them, hey, I think that someone had put something on me. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand what's going on in my career. I'm not able to book any jobs. I just don't get it anymore. What is happening to me? And she's like, girl, I was thinking the same thing because it's so funny that so-and-so is saying that they rather go with someone else and they really love you and now they don't want to work with you. And I'm like, oh, I need help. And so she's like, you know what? The guy that I told you about is here in New York. You should run and go see him. I had like maybe like $300 to my name at that time. I remember walking the street feeling like I was being hunted. I would walk the street looking back behind me every time I'm walking. And I would feel so scared because I would feel like something was behind me. Like it would just be like, what is going on? What's this happening to me? I felt like I was going crazy. And so I needed help. And so I went to this guy. He gave me, invited me to his house. It was late at night that I got there. And when he answered the door, it was a man that answered the door, but it was more of a woman's voice. And he was a host. And the first thing that the person said to me was, we've been waiting for you since you were born. Like, we've been wanting you to be a part of this. And so for me, thinking and looking for validation, looking for people that that reminded me of myself was something that I wanted and I needed and I desired. And I was like, no one understands me. No one is understanding the things. I was the one in my group of friends that was called the weird one, that I would always see things or feel things about a person. And they're like, you always think that and you always feel that. And then I would just basically shut down and just shut up because no, everybody would think that it was just me being someone that just wanted problems. And I finally was like, oh my God, I'm meeting people that remind me of myself and that have gifts like I do. And so I go and I sit in this guy's house. He has an altar. It's a basement apartment in Brooklyn, New York. I'm in this apartment and I'm hanging out with him for about 6 days. I will go home and come back, go home and come back. He would give me baths. I would do these ritual baths and washing my hair and cleansing myself and saying all these types of spells to remove whatever anybody tried to put on me. I remember asking him while I was there, hey, you sure this is of God, right? Like, God is okay with this. And he would say things like, hey, no, don't worry about that. Like, God is in this. We have to go to God first in order to do anything, which is also some good tea. Just know that the enemy can't move on you without God's permission. The enemy can't do anything without God's permission. The enemy has to bow down to God in order to make any sudden moves on any person, because we are all children of God and we belong to Christ, right? And so I would be like, okay, cool, no problem, great, amazing. He would say, write down a list of what the things that you want. What is it that you want for your career? And I would be like, oh my God, okay, I want covers and I want this and I want that and I want to be this makeup artist and that makeup artist. And I want to have this going on for myself and my, you know, all types of things I put on that list. And I never gave him I didn't give him the list until maybe like 5 days into it, because I was still kind of like, whoa, what do you ask God for? Thinking that I'm asking God, Jesus for these things. I'm not asking Jesus. I'm asking lowercase G God for not knowing that. Now, I can't say I went in, I wasn't raised in the church. I just found, literally God hunted me down 4 years ago. So I was raised Catholic. So it wasn't really like, it was like you go to church on Sundays, Easter, you got baptized when you were a kid and that was it. You never really like focus on reading the word and understanding the word and all that. So all of these things that I was introduced to, I was really naive and I thought that this was of God. And my heart was always for God. My heart was always for trusting the process and understanding God and thinking that God wanted to remove curses and spells and things that people may have put to block me or to hinder me from jobs and careers. And here's the tea. I was thinking so small at that time too. So you're thinking like covers and give me this client and this and all that, not realizing, I'm basically was moving as a witch and didn't even realize that. And so it's funny because I was talking to a girlfriend the other day and she said, well, what's the difference between a good witch and a bad witch? And I said, there is no difference. You're good and there is no difference of good and bad. Once you're a witch, you're a witch. And the one thing, that came to me was like, if you are doing or saying spells to basically hinder someone from basically growing and being who they're called to be, or basically you're saying, I need that person as a client, or I need something like this, and take it away. You're basically taking away someone's purpose from what they're supposed to do instead of leading in your God-given purpose of what you're called to be and who you're called to be. In Exodus 22:18, the King James Version says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. So basically any person that calls themselves a witch, the Bible says that they shall be put to death. right? You should, witches shall be put to death. We shall, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. And not really realizing that the enemy tries to pervert your gifts to make you, if you're prophetic or if you have any gifts of discerning of spirits, anything that you can't, that you have, the enemy will try to pervert that, because the enemy's main plan for your life is to kill you, destroy you. It's to hinder you. It's to block you. It's to make you go crazy and make everybody look at you like, oh, she's just crazy. Don't listen to her. She's just this. Don't listen to her, which they have done to me. When I speak out and say certain things, they'll say, oh, Kamara's just, oh, don't listen. She's just crazy. Or she, oh, Kamara, you so crazy. Because I make jokes a lot. One thing they will say is, you so crazy. When I'm saying, and I'll have to check people, say, now, don't call me crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm funny. I like to goof around a lot. I like to be goofy, but there's no part of crazy on the inside of me, because once you speak that, then that spirit tries to attach itself to me and make it seem like that's what I am and I'm not. And so while I'm at this guy's house, I was hanging out with multiple different entities. I met a lot of them. I know a lot of these spirits by name. I realized that sage, I got taught by them that sage is something that they love the smell of. That they enjoy the smell of sage, and that they like when people burn sage in their homes because it calls them to come into the homes. And you don't want these spirits in your home. You don't want these things having an open door into your life, because they are, demons are kind of like our people that basically died and gave their lives to the devil. And those people who had those spirits of murder or spirits of rape or spirits of anger or spirits and never really gave their lives fully to Christ are those spirits that's living inside of those people, inside of these spirits, basically. Those spirits are still living, right? And the enemy uses those spirits to basically have these little minions of demons come around and try to, all of a sudden you find yourself driving and somebody cuts you off and you're like, ah, and you start cursing them out and you start saying negative things about this person and cursing them, and you're putting a curse on their lives. Like, the enemy would do little things for you to basically put a curse on someone's life. And it's something that can happen like that so easily that you're just like, I can't believe I fell into that. I cannot believe I did that. So long story short, back to my story of, you know, being in that house, being in that apartment with that person and hanging out with the many different things. I even realized that children were brought to this. This guy was a Santeria priest, and he was from the DR, and he was a high tier level witch, was raised and born and raised in it. And taught everything he knew from his, you know, his grandmother and his mother and all that. And so children will come in, because in that culture, they start you from young to basically give your life to the devil, making you not realize, really teaching you that you're giving your life to God. But they focus on more of the power and not on the relationship of God, which is not okay. While I was there, I would basically hang out. I would see the mannerisms of each and every one of them, and get to know each and every one of them and ask really in-depth questions from each and every one of them to know what it is. Like, what is this about? Like, why are you want me? What's so special about me? You know, thinking that I'm so special and I'm like a gift to them and all that, you know? As the week went on, he came to my house, and as he came to my house, he was smoking my house out. He started to say, there's something in your closet, and this closet can never, it's not opening, and I got to get it out, and it won't leave, and I'm telling it to go now in the name of God, in God, go now, but not saying, there was no Jesus ever said, none of that. I remember the next, we sat down, we had some pizza after that, and then he left and went home, and I went to sleep. I woke up the next day, and this is on day 7, what this was, of hanging out with this group. I remember I woke up and I was like, whew, I feel amazing today. Something changed. Something's different. What's going on? What's happening? What is this? And with that happening, immediately was like, oh my God, the curse is broken. He did it. It's great. Oh my gosh. Yay. I had all this energy. And then I get a phone call from him. And the phone call was, hey, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm doing fantastic. And he's like, well, I'm not so good. And I'm like, really? What happened? And he's like, my altar burned to the ground. And I said, wait, what? Like the music went, what? And he's like, my altar is burned down. He was like, everything else in my apartment is still standing. The only thing that's gone is my altar. I said, I gotta see this. I don't understand. I get to his house and there's a bunch of witches there. And I'm like, what happened? And they're like, who are you? They're asking me all these questions. Who sent you? What is this? What's going on with you? Why? What happened? And they're like, you need to take her to the cemetery. And when I walk into the head, I'm just like, wait, cemetery? Oh, wait, what's happening? What's going on? Basically, what happened was I walked through the apartment. And as I'm walking through the apartment, everything is still standing. There's fire soot from the floor to the walls to the ceilings. I walk in from the basement apartment all the way back to the where the altar was. The couch is still standing. The books on the bookshelf is still standing. The shower curtain is still perfectly standing. All we really need to do is wipe the walls down, wipe things down and paint over it so that the house could look like... The fire was so huge that basically the whole block should have been shut down, but it wasn't. What was really happening was the fact that this altar was just completely gone. So I fall to my knees and I say, Jesus, what are you trying to say to me right now? What's happening? What's happening, Jesus? And I felt so bad that I felt like it was my fault that I started to help them clean up, help him like clean his house up, help him with everything. And that's when I started to, the next day when I got home, that night when I got home, I started to have dreams. And the first dream was tell him I said, you're not going anywhere with him. So I go back the next day and I say, I had a dream and the dream was to tell you that I can't go anywhere with you. So I don't know how we're going to do this, but I don't think I could go with you to DR. And he was like, oh, we're going to DR. You got to figure out how we're going to pay for all this. And I said, okay. I was real calm, real at ease. Like, I don't know where this came from. It was just more of like, no more fear was in me. It was just like a pace of like, okay, cool. I guess I'm going. I'm painting his wall and I hear, tell him I said this. And I drop the paintbrush and I go in the room and I said, well, everything you give to me, I give it back to you times a thousand. So if you're giving me good, I give you back good, right? And he goes, girl, I'm good. I don't need anything. You don't have to do that for me. I'm good. Trust me, I'm okay. He goes outside. He smokes a cigarette. He comes back in. He says, hey, I think you should go home. And I'm like, me? Go home? And he's like, yeah, I think it's best that you go home. And I'm like, why? And he's like, because honestly, all the things that's happening right now is just a lot. And I think that it's something that, you know, you can't really handle right now. So I think it's best that you just go home. Let me fix this up. And then I'll call you to come back and we can finish what we started. So I'm like, perfect. Because I don't even want to be there. I'm like, this too much anyway. There's a lot going on in here. And, you know, whatever. I'm ready to go. So I leave and I never hear from him again. And maybe 2 days later, I'm going like stir crazy again because I'm like, am I going to hear from them? And is he going to call me? Did I do something wrong? Oh my gosh, what did I do? So I call my friend, one of my good girlfriends, and I ask her and I say, hey, I think I did something wrong and I need help. And she's like, okay, what do you need? I said, can you pray for me? I think I did bop, 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 bop. And I tell her the story that I just told you guys. And she's like, wow, yeah, you did do something wrong, but nothing is more powerful than God and than Jesus. And then she introduces me to Christ. During that time when she introduces me to Christ, she also teaches me how to fast and pray. And we fast for 4 days together, no food. And I gave my heart completely to Christ Jesus, and never looked back. when I look back at the things that I have learned and that I have experienced in my life, I already know that this was part of the process of what God wanted for me. This was part of who God was calling me to be, because he already knew that the occult and that the things and the different practices and the rituals that people would do and would practice would become something that he needed people to call his children back, to come back to him, and understanding that there's nothing in this planet more powerful than the blood of Jesus. Nothing is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. So when you're going around saging your house or wearing a crystal that's like $5, $10, or $35, a real crystal costs over $10,000. So the plastic crystal that you're collecting is not channeling any energy, quote unquote, that is of God. It is becoming an idol. And when you make something that's an idol, to make it and to give it more power than what God has given us naturally, because in the beginning of the Bible, God gave us dominion over all things. We can speak to a mountain and say, move. And if we have enough faith, that mountain shall move. And so if we have the power to walk into our homes and say, anything that is not of God, I command you in the name of Jesus to leave now and be burned by the Holy Ghost fire. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you enter in this room. And I understand that some people do not know these things, because here's the tea. I didn't know these things. I didn't understand these things. I didn't realize me looking for joining in with ayahuasca and trying to take ayahuasca or getting Reiki healing was just me, my body, my spirit begging for deliverance. My spirit was seeking deliverance. My spirit was seeking to be delivered from ancestral curses. And when people say ancestral curses is just trauma, ancestral curses is more than just trauma. Ancestral curses is also your aunt or your uncle from down the line that sold the family's bloodline. Sold your family's bloodline just so that they can get $500 to pay a bill or something like that. And it'd be the dumbest things that people did it for. Even down to back in Africa or Egypt. Like, I have a friend that got that was delivered, and during her deliverance process, she manifested into an Egyptian like spirit from like the 1600s. You know what I'm saying? Like from like the, I mean like from like 600 AD, I think it was. And it was so scary, because I'm like, this is my friend and I'm literally watching this. And we just don't know what our bloodlines carry from years and years and years ago. And what people are doing by collecting these crystals, by worshiping the moon and talking about full moon energy and talking about all these demonic spirits, what they don't understand is that you're just basically keeping the ancestral curses that just your ancestors were doing from before, and it didn't work for them. None of it worked for them. Why? Because guess what? You're still living in a spirit of poverty. You're still living in a spirit of lack. You're still living in a spirit of anger. You're still, some uncle is still raping somebody on the low in the family and they kept it quiet. Or someone had a child out of wedlock by their father and they kept that quiet. And that's who you call auntie, but that's really your sister. You know, it's like, that's the demonic. That's what ancestral curses is. And that's why when I posted, God, I will never in my life make a person that sold their spirit to the enemy or sold their family bloodline to the enemy. I will never make them more powerful than you, God. I will never give them the glory for the goodness that you have done for me in my life. I will never do that, God, because I know that me being here right now has nothing to do with any ancestors but God. Except the ancestors that was praying and that was praying to Jesus Christ. Ancestors that were praying to Christ and that gave their lives wholeheartedly to Christ, we big you up. big you up. But the other little demons that was out here doing the dark stuff and think and not really caring about how it was going to affect the people after them. I'm not honoring that. Because when I honor those people, I'm honoring the curses that come with them. And I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not doing it because it sounds cool. I'm not doing it because social media is doing it. You know, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you know what God's will is for your life. And ever since I've been really hungry for God and chasing down Him and chasing after what He has been teaching me, my mind has completely changed to thinking more like Christ. Like every move that I make, I am thinking about my future. I am thinking about my children. I am thinking about how this would affect their children. I am thinking about how this would affect their children's children's children. I am thinking about how it would affect them and putting my moves into those things. I'm not thinking about how it's going to affect Kamara at this time and in this day at 12:23 p.m. on May 19th. I'm not thinking about, okay, God, I need you to do this for me, you know? And what I realized too, even with my trip to South Carolina, which was a blessing, a complete, absolute blessing, but not realizing that all of that, the stuff that I've been through in the past 4 years had really led up to me being there in that moment to lay hands, to pray for people, to prophesy, to be used by the Lord. And I realized that I made my entire walk about me. And even though I moved the makeup that made it about God and made it everything about God, I made my walk though. I just transferred my walk with Christ and made that about me. Even down to my move to LA, where everything became so dark and so crazy, and where I was getting attack after attack after attack after attack, that I was like, wow, Lord, like I really made everything about me and really did not understand what God was doing in my life and what He was about to do for me. And so this is why I felt the need to put out this podcast today, to put out my own testimony, my own story, to share the power of sharing your testimony, the power of telling people what you've overcome, what you've done, the power of telling someone that, yes, I can still serve God. And guess what? I had 2 abortions, you know, but God forgave me, and I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive myself for those things that I did, because I did a lot of things unknowingly. I made a lot of moves thinking that I was in control of my life when it was really God that was in full control of my life. But God could take your mess and turn it into something that is more positive for someone that needs to hear it. And I want to brag about God today. And I thank you guys for hearing my testimony. I'm going to continue with this. Bragging about God's goodness. Psalms 145:21 says, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord, and let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever. And I wrote down this on the plane headed to South Carolina. God gave me this, and I said, God, I could just brag about you all day, from you saving saving me in my mother's womb from after having multiple miscarriages. My mother had over, I think, 2 or 3 miscarriages before I came into this world. So the enemy was already trying to destroy my life. You know, from not having any self-worth because I was raised in a household without a father, and basically chasing men down and looking for the love of God in men, and giving myself, my body to men, just searching for those things. All of these things is something that I could brag about, how much God loved me and how much He saved my life. 'Cause I could have been dead. I was doing the most, in my lifetime. I used to be one of those girls that would be on the back of motorcycles on Flatbush Avenue doing all types of wheelies and all types of crazy stuff, where I could have literally hurt myself, literally, you know. And I'm so grateful that God allowed me to release my testimony and to share it on the podcast and to share it with you guys, because I have suppressed it for so long. For 4 years, I've been holding on like, God, I don't know when I'm gonna be able to release my testimony. I don't know when you're gonna let me. And He's like, I've been wanted you to release it. And I was scared, because I remember when I first found God, I found myself at a church, and One of the elders at the church told me, don't tell anybody about how you found God because you might scare them off away from you. You might scare them from wanting to hear you and not wanting to be around you. And that made me stay quiet. That made me think that if I tell people my testimony, they probably would think that something is wrong with me or that I have an issue or that I'm still opening the door or those things are still attached to me. I also pretended that I was okay and acted like it never happened. One of the things that the tricks that I'm really good at doing is deleting things from my mind and acting like it never happened. But in this process of this past year of going through deliverance and inner healing, all of those memories have started to come back up and I'm facing those demons and I'm telling it to go. And when I have done the work, I have done the work to really know who I am in God and in Christ. And therapy helps, yes. But finding a good deliverance minister, that someone that you can trust that is doing the will of God and that you can trust to really walk you through deliverance is what I would recommend for anyone that's listening to this. And if this may resonate with you, if this is something that you may feel that you're doing right now, or God is speaking to you about the occult and witchcraft, I would definitely start to ask God to introduce you to more people of God and to be more around those people that can help pull you out. I had friends that would tell me, girl, that's not of God. And I will fight them. That is of God. Why would God create crystals? God did create rocks, right? So obviously it is of God. Buddha is of God. When you worship in Buddha, you have those statues in your house. You're basically building an altar to a demigod. You're building an altar to a demigod that basically looks at you and laughs because he can't do nothing for you. He can't do anything for you. I remember even when I was, when I found God and I went to, and I started to really cleanse out my home and stuff, I had 26 bags of things, 26 large garbage bags, I mean, like those large trash cut, like bags that you like that they use in apartment buildings to put all the garbage in. I had 26 of those bags full of crap, full of crystals, full of books by Eckhart Tolle, all these demonic books, The Power of Now. All of these books that I had that I collected, all these like Reiki understanding of what it is, you know, and just so many things that I had of material, witchcraft material in my home. And I literally threw them all away. I threw everything away and I'm still condensing. That's why when God told me even now, and not condensing anything as with witchcraft, because that's been gone, but more of like condensing anything that doesn't feel like God is taking. That's why when I told God, like, clean out my closet, he basically stepped in with me and we basically did it. And I was like, wow, Lord, I really, really cleaned up. Like, my closet is empty, guys. So we're going to have to fill this closet back up. But just really teaming up with the Holy Spirit now in my life. You know, I honestly hope that you guys receive this. You know, and I'm going to continue on, and I have some more stuff that I had written down. As a child, I was bullied and called names from people. They would call me all types of names and things that I didn't even, that I started to believe about myself. I started to believe that I was this loud, obnoxious, unrelatable, annoying, and unworthy to sit around and be around with the cool kids kind of girl. I didn't think that I was worthy enough to be around those things. And I realized that all of that was a lie. And when we're born, the enemy knows that we have a purpose because we made it into this earth. Every person that makes it into this earth, God has given you a God-given purpose, you know? And so his thing is to kill it, destroy it, delay it, and pervert it. And so whenever you have overcome any battles, I just encourage you guys to share about the goodness of God with glee. because he is still sustaining you. You're still here. You're still living. You're still breathing. You're still doing all the things that God has placed you on this planet to do. And even if you think that you may be a little delayed on certain things, just trust the process of your walk. And knowing that you are walking with, you know, that as you have renounced those things and said, God, you know what? I throw these things away. I'm done with these things. I'm focusing on you. I am focusing on what you are saying for me. And I'm going to trust the process and trust that this is a process. Because trust me, this has been a process for me for over four years. Over 4 years has been a process for me, you know. But it's been something that I would never, even when I was going through the experience and going through the changes and the purging that I went through, I still was like, I was angry at that time. Like, dang, why did I have to go through this? Why me? Why me? Why me? But when I think back at that, I would do it again, because the person that I am today is so much more aware of what is happening in this earth and what is happening in the spirit world. I want my testimony to push you to not be ashamed by the things that you overcame. You know, I wanted to push you to say, I am a child of God, and God is going to use my testimony to help draw somebody out of it. Psalm 105:5 says, remember the wonders that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he's pronounced. You are servants and descendants of Abraham, and you are chosen ones of the children of Jacob. Being an overcomer further proves that you're God's chosen one, called to share your story and boast about his goodness and complete your war against the enemy by getting deliverance and inner healing and filling yourself up with more of the fruits of the Holy Spirit and getting that inner healing, which can be therapy, or it can be therapy with a minister, or it could be therapy with a therapist that is Christian based. excuse me. Or it may be led to a deliverance minister to go back to those places and see where God was in those places and forgiven everyone involved. Like, I have forgiven every person that was involved in introducing me to witchcraft, because I'm not really mad at them. I'm more like, yo, thank you for giving me the tea, because I know a lot now. And I know how God is going to, you know, I wonder how God is going to use it. Like, God do what he do. But I have to forgive them because they didn't know any better and they were raised in it. And I have to just pray for them and be in a place of like, and be in a place of forgiving myself for making the choices that I have done. And everyone also included in the forgiveness process is also God. I had to really look at it and say, God, I forgive you. And how I say this, because I know that God is blameless and I know that you cannot blame God, but we have to remember also that we are human. So when things happen to us that may be out of the whack of what we're used to, we have to know that, we have to understand that we go into the first thing that happens is disappointment. And when we're disappointed because things may have gone a way that we were not expecting, the first thing we're saying is, God, why would you allow this to happen, man? God, what's up? Why is this happening to me right now? It's the same way as that you will go at a person that basically kind of disappointed you. And so what I tell people to do is to forgive God, because when you first say, God, what? Why did you do that? Disbelief in what God is doing is a sin. Questioning God is a sin, right? And so the disbelief in what he is doing in your life and that this is not going to work out for your good is basically saying, you know what, God, I forgive you for that. Because I honestly thought, like, asking, like saying, God, what's up? And getting angry and just saying, you know what, I give up. Here's a T. I've given up on this walk thousands of times, okay? I'll be like, I'm done, Lord. You can never use me again. I'm done. You just made me, like, even that post made me lose like 300. I said, Lord, I lost 300 followers. But you know what? It's all good. Y'all gotta go anyway. You know, people got to go and some people got to come in. And I'm happy for the people that came in. But it's when things get a little tough, I want you guys to just trust the process. I want you guys to continue to share and shout out what God has done for you and share the goodness of the Lord. Share that goodness. The goodness of God is part of the fruits of the Spirit. So when you share your testimony, and which is the goodness and the fruit, you're basically replacing that negative experience with a fruit of the Spirit, which allows the enemy to not come back into your life, which is a fantastic thing to do. So I encourage each and every one of you today. I thank you guys for tuning into the Unique Beauty Podcast, where we talk all things beauty and God. And please share this with someone that you may, that you think that this may help. I'm going to dig deeper into some other things too that God has given me. And I'm going to be doing a Bible study today at 5 p.m. Pacific Coast time. So I hope to see you guys on my IG Live. I love you guys. Be blessed and have a wonderful day. Amen.